Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I am your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and the world around you. Today we're going to be talking about the nature and effect of large-scale wealth, specifically the dangers of comparison. Now you would think that when you get to a certain level of wealth that you don't compare yourself to others. But this is not true at all, and we're going to be addressing that and perhaps some ways to avoid that at any level, comparison of yourself to others, of others to each other, but mostly between yourself and others, is a danger you face at every single level, no matter what your net worth is right now. But it's a major part of how your money affects your life, your view of yourself, your relationships with others, and your relationship to the world at large. So we'll be talking about that. Before we dive into that today, a quick shout out to new listeners in Västra Frölunda, Sweden. Thank you for this connection. Thank you for joining me. If you have thoughts, questions, ideas, follow the links in the show notes and let me know what's going on in your world and how I can help. So we talk a lot about money, mostly the nature of money and the effect of money on you, on your relationships, on your interaction, on humanity at large, on societies. And we've spoken about a lot of different stages of your financial journey. Legal disclaimer, I'm not giving financial advice. But we do want to talk about how it affects your life. Now, if financial independence were not complicated enough, let's talk about large-scale wealth. Now, what does that mean? Wealth in any amount is comparative. In some societies, $1,000 is a lot of money. In some others, it's not a lot of money. Now, we previously defined financial independence as having enough money that you can live off of the interest it produces if you invest it, right? We previously defined that. You can call yourself at the point of financial independence when you can happily live off of 4% of your net worth per year. And that's just a rule of thumb, And we've also spoken about how that 4% rule might be outdated and it might be more like 5% or 6%. But that is between you and your financial advisors. But that's generally how we've defined it. So that means you have enough money that you don't need to work for money if you don't want to. So instead of you working for money, money works for you, and it produces an income for you that you can then use for your day-to-day life. Now, financial independence comes with its own perks and challenges. At that stage, you already have to take measures to preserve your net worth and to keep it generally kind of quiet. Now, let's explore what happens when financial independence turns to large-scale wealth. Some large-scale wealth is bigger than others. So we're going to need some definitions. In the Western financial world, there are three types of large-scale wealth. High net worth, very high net worth, and ultra-high net worth. Now, to qualify for these groups in North America as of 2020, you must have liquid assets. That means investable cash, not houses, not cars, not stuff, but actually cash that you could invest in excess of $1 million, $5 million, or $30 million, respectively. So $1 million net worth will label you high net worth. $5 million will label you very high net worth. $30 million net worth investable assets will label you ultra high net worth. Now, this definition does change a bit from bank to bank, and it's the banks that are setting these definitions. But it's generally that's kind of where the cutoffs are across the investment banking and the startup investment world. Now, why are they the ones who set these definitions? Because they are the ones who want your money. So they are the ones who are divvying you up into these bulk categories. Now, there are well over 18 million people in those categories in the United States as of 2020. It's not at all unusual. So as an individual, this makes you a high net worth individual or a HNWI, a very high net worth individual or a VNWI, or an ultra high net worth individual or an UNWI. If you have more than $100,000 to invest, but less than $1 million, you would be considered merely affluent. Or you might even be saddled with the somewhat derogatory sounding sub-HNWI. Now, these terms come out of the investment banking and the venture capital worlds because these are the people who want your cash for themselves. In other words, they are the wolves at your door, and they have categorized their prey in order to optimize their approach. But the comparison is not all on the side of those who would steward your precious capital. The psychology of large-scale wealth is fascinating to observe. When the wealth is yours, you run the risk of believing that you are smarter than everyone else. Because, I mean, just look where you are. Look at all the money you have. You must have done everything right. You can do no wrong. You're brilliant. And you start to perceive yourself at the top of a hierarchy based on net worth. And spoiler alert, you're wrong. You probably just had great timing. You may be very brilliant indeed. But there are a lot of other factors at play. And so this perception is incredibly erroneous. But as much as you may be looking down your nose at those unknowing fools with no money, you are feeling at the same time lesser than people who have more. Poor me, I'm only worth a few million, but Jennifer down the street just made UNWI status, and look at all these billionaires. Oh my God, I'm just nothing. But the problem here is in tying your perceived intellect, or worse, your worth as a human being, tying it to the total in your bank account. Now, when we're young, we see people with yachts and big parties buying pricey bottles of champagne, and we think that they must be doing something right. We think they're smarter than us, or we think they're better than us, or both. And these comparisons, the ones you draw between yourself and others, and the ones you draw between themselves and you, or between you and others, they're all false. They're all wrong. Now, funny enough, as you reach increasing stages of wealth and you have more time, you might also be working on your self-development. And you will come to realize that you are worthy of love, regardless of money. You internalize the fact that your money is just an extension of you, not a measure of you. That's so important, I'm going to repeat it. Your money is an extension of you. It is not a measure of you. You realize how how you spend your money is an expression of your self-perception. And quite often this leads to setting up charity efforts instead of yacht parties. Overall, you just make different choices. So you can spot the new money, as they call it, a mile away, because they make these mistakes of comparison. New money, people who have been wealthy just recently, new money is hierarchical. It doesn't know the danger of its own flamboyance. New money is holier than thou. New money wants to tell you how to live. New money is smarter than everyone. And your high net worth might be new for quite a while. How new is new? Well, it depends on the person. Seasoned money, as I will call it, behaves differently. Seasoned money is quiet wealth. Seasoned money or mature wealth does not assume to tell people who to vote for. Seasoned money is focused on giving back, appreciation, or some form of charity efforts. Now, although individuals with seasoned money might live in a beautiful house or several, they do not show it off. They avoid the headlines in general. They live a lot more low profile. They understand the dangers inherent in their wealth, and they've taken steps to protect themselves. Living rather quietly is one such step. They might also have set up trusts, investments, wills and estates documents, nonprofit organizations, and other means of ensuring that their wealth is used and transferred in ways that make them feel purposeful and secure. So we need to be very careful when we think about our money, when we're working to grow net worth for ourselves, but also so that we can enact our purpose in this world. We need to be careful that we don't compare ourselves to everyone else around us. We make this mistake so often, especially when we're young, to look at people who are flaunting all this wealth and think, oh, wow, they're really doing something right. Are they? Not really. They may have just been in the right place at the right time. They may have had a perfectly timed business idea that happened to grow large. And you don't know what they're going through in their personal life, in their own personal world. You have no idea. Are they happy? Are they really? Or are they just showing you what they want you to believe? Right? So don't tie net worth or perceived net worth or the look of wealth with any sense of worth as a human being or guaranteed joy or anything else. Money is just an extension of a person. You use it to ultimately express what stage you're in right now. Ultimately, the way you're using your money is expressing where you are in your journey. It is not any kind of measure of whether or not you're a good person or how smart you are or how good you are at something. That doesn't mean you're not a good person and smart and good at something. It just means that money is not the measure of that. Other things are the measure of that. So we need to be very, very careful not to compare ourselves at any stage of life to someone who has more money and feel lesser than them just because of money. It's not a measure. So if you must use money as a measure, use your own net worth as a measure of your effort, your work that has gone into creating that. Use your own net worth as a measure of the discipline that you have had to carry out to get there. That's really the only thing you can use it as a measure of, a sense of your discipline in building that kind of net worth. So money is a complex and fascinating topic. So send in your questions and your thoughts and your ideas on this, how it affects you, and cultivate an awareness of how it affects you, how it affects your relationships, and kind of what you see out there in the world at large. And let me know how it's going for you and how I can help. Thank you for joining me today. And as always, I'm wishing you, Purna Asati, complete connection.